All right, let's get down to business. If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. We're going to get there in just a moment, but I want to give you time to get there. How many of you like a good feast? I do. I am a foodie. I love good food. Vicky can testify to this. We went out to lunch this past week down at the Maple Grill in Hemlock, right? Is that where it's at? And they have a deviled egg dip that they make homemade flatbread with. And you can ask Vicky, the whole time I was eating that dip, we were having this conversation. All right, me and the dip were. So you can really tell when I'm enjoying what's on my plate. And I like a good feast. And I don't just mean a quick dinner or a fast drive-through. I mean a real meal. Something that has been prepared with love. Something that smells like comfort and tastes like joy. Maybe it's a holiday table. Maybe it's a wedding banquet. Maybe it's a backyard grill on a summer evening. And I'm sure you can all picture a scene like that in your minds. I don't know about you, but I live for those moments. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, holidays. We put out the good dishes for a reason, don't we? Because something inside of us knows this is what life is supposed to feel like and what it is supposed to look like. And it's not just the food, is it? It's the people. It's the conversations. A sense that for a moment, everything is okay. You feel safe. Your belly is full and you're at home. We long for those moments because everything is exactly the way it is supposed to be. Everything's as it should be. But we all know that those type of moments are fleeting, aren't they? Have you ever felt like the joy has just been sucked out of the air? I know I have. You wake up, you check the news, it's war, it's political tension, it's another act of violence, another system that is breaking down, another layer of loss. Seems as if the world is just kind of falling down around us. There's just this heavy fog that just seems to hover over the earth. And it's one of sin and death and loss and violence and grief. And maybe for you it's more personal. Maybe for you life is just really heavy and hard. Nothing is as it should be. Something's missing. Something's out of alignment. Life's not just hard, it's a struggle. It is a daily fight for survival. And maybe you sit at a dinner table, but there's an empty chair. You're trying to laugh, but the grief is still in the room. You're surrounded by people, but you still feel alone. There is a kind of heaviness that settles on us, a fog, a shadow, a weight, like something's not right. And no matter what we do, we can't seem to shake it. The Bible has a word for that. It's called a shroud. Isaiah mentions it in Isaiah chapter 25. And when Isaiah is writing in Isaiah chapter 5, the whole earth is covered with this shroud of darkness, the shroud of death, a dark sheet stretched across every nation. It's the thing behind every fear, every loss, every grave, every injustice, every silent heartbreak. It's a feeling that something is broken beyond our ability to fix it. Now, when Isaiah writes chapter 25, he has just told some very dark things to the people he's writing to. He has talked about in the previous chapter the impending judgment of the earth. And in verse 17, he talks about the terror, the pit, the snare is upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. He talks about us fleeing, climbing, trying to escape it, that the world is going to be torn asunder, that it's going to be violently shaken. Then he uses this very strange picture. The earth staggers around like a drunk. It sways like a hut. Very dark picture. Nations are clashing. People are being hurt. The world is a dark, sad place. And then out of nowhere, chapter 25, Isaiah breaks out into this jubilant song. Just out of nowhere, he says in chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. And then in chapter 25 and verse 6, he gives us this picture, this word picture. He says, on the mountain of the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow and well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from their eyes, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on the Oh, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. So Isaiah talks about this death shroud that's hanging over all the people. And he says, but there's hope. And let's pause for just a moment and pay attention to what Isaiah is saying. Again, this vision comes after chapters filled with warnings. Nation after nation has turned power into oppression. People are trusting in military might and their riches more than they are the plans and the will of God. People are being chewed up. The vulnerable are being spit out, and the broken are being trampled on. But here's Isaiah 25. This is a song. It's a celebration. Why? Why is in the midst of all this darkness, of this death shroud that is hanging over all the earth, how can Isaiah even think of celebrating, singing songs of joy and exaltation? Well, this is why. Because the fog is lifting. The darkness is being undone. And where does it start? On a mountain with a feast. And with a promise. Isaiah says God is going to throw a party. A party. Can you imagine that? The God of heaven. I don't know what your vision of God is, but I grew up with a God who was a sour-faced, stingy, cranky, mean, angry old God. And if he threw a party, it was because he just struck me with a lightning bolt and he's celebrating. Woohoo! That's not the God of Isaiah 25. He has a feast. And by the way, it's not just for Israel. It's for all people. Think about that. All nations, all tribes, all languages. People who had once been enemies sitting shoulder to shoulder with cups raised and bellies full. Isn't that a great vision? The world is at peace. And it's not just bread and water. It's rich food. It's well-aged wine. You see, in the ancient world, that meant celebration. It meant abundance and joy and peace. But this great feast, this great party that God is hosting on this mountain, it's more than food. The feast represents that God is making things right. He's setting what is wrong right. Right in the middle of this celebration, Isaiah gives us the real headline. He says, God will swallow up death forever. Not just delay it, not just manage it, not just cope with it. He is going to swallow it. Like a sea monster taking on its prey. God will swallow death whole. It reminds me of a video I saw a while back. Earlier this year, there was this man with his dad kayaking off of Chile in the Straits of Magellan. All of a sudden, this humpback whale comes up and swallows the son and his kayak whole. Just all of a sudden, he's floating on top of the water, and you see the humpback whale, and he just disappears. Just gone. Can you imagine being swallowed by a whale? It's a modern-day Jonah. He spit him out instantly. But that's the vision that Isaiah is giving to us. God is going to swallow up death. The fog of death is being eaten alive. And then Isaiah gives this beautiful, gentle line. He will wipe away every tear. Every tear. Friends, that's a promise. It's not a metaphor. It's not just a hope, pie in the sky thinking. It's a promise. The pain you carry, the grief you don't always talk about, the long ache that never quite leaves, the agony that you see the world experiencing, as if the whole globe is groaning in pain. Know this. God sees it. And Isaiah says there's coming a day when those tears will be tenderly wiped away. They won't be dismissed. They won't be forgotten. They will be healed. Now, here's where it gets really good. Because hundreds of years later, there's another prophet, a tent maker by the name of Paul. And he is writing a letter to a little church in Corinth. And when he tries to explain what happened when Jesus rose from the dead, guess what he quotes? Isaiah chapter 25. He says that death has been swallowed up in victory. When the stone rolled away and Jesus stepped out of the tomb, that wasn't just a neat ending to his story. It wasn't, look, ha, ta-da, another miracle. Wasn't it? It wasn't just showing off the power and the sovereignty of God. He rose to start a new world. A world where death doesn't get the final word. A world where shame is undone and tears are wiped away. A world where joy breaks in like the dawn. Beautiful thing. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus means that one day I too shall experience resurrection, or if I'm still here when the Lord returns, I get changed in the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal body puts on immortality. And like Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, my body will be transformed, my lowly body will be transformed into his glorious body. But here's where it gets real. Isaiah says this feast is coming. Jesus says, it's already started. Every time we gather around this table, every time we gather as the people of God around any table where Jesus is present, we are tasting the resurrection. And it's not just the remembrance of the past, it's a preview of the future. It's a protest against despair. It's a quiet rebellion against the way things are. The risen Jesus sits at this table. And if you've lost someone in Christ, someone you wish could be here today, Isaiah and Jesus both say they will be. There is coming a day in which God will throw a feast on his holy mountain, and all nations, tribes, and people will be gathered there to sit at his table. And we will experience the glory of God for eternity. Resurrection has personal meaning to us. We long for that feast. But the resurrection just isn't personal. It's cosmic. You notice what Isaiah says? Who's this table for? Well, there's something else that in Isaiah's vision we can ignore. The feast, notice, is not thrown for the powerful. It's not hosted for the successful. It's not reserved for the best dressed or the most impressive. If you notice, it is for the poor and the needy. For those the world overlooks. It's for the ones who get crushed by the city that Isaiah says is coming down. The meaning of the table is one where God gathers those who are living on the margins, who are crushed most by sin and death, and He nourishes them. He celebrates them. The table of the Lord is a place where we welcome the vulnerable, where we make the stranger feel at home. It is where we practice the justice of the kingdom we claim to believe in. Because if the resurrection is true, it changes everything. And if it changes everything, it has to change us as well. It has to change how we view the world, no longer with cynicism, but with hope. No longer with despair, but with joy. No longer with a feeling that there's nothing that can be done in the world that we live in that's so broken by the sin of the reign of sin and death. No, there's something. God's kingdom is breaking in. And it started the moment Jesus stepped out of that tomb. Not only is death conquered, not only is the power of death been defeated, but also how it takes grab of the world and distorts it. God is very slowly changing what's wrong with the world and making it right. And friends, that gives us hope. Because one day, God is going to finish what He started. The fog will lift. The death shroud will be gone. Every grave will be undone. Every tear will be wiped away. And the table will be full. And the feast will be enjoyed in its fullness. Not just in the future, but now. Because we live as resurrected people. We live as people of the future. And when the world looks at us, they get a glimpse of what it is like to gather on the Lord's mountain around His table and feast. And that's what attracts them. They want to be a part of that. Because they see that we love like the resurrection is real. We forgive like death has been defeated. We welcome like God is throwing a feast. And we hope because we know Jesus lives. And He reigns. And He is coming again. Praise God. Let's pray. Risen Lord, You have swallowed up death. You have broken the shroud. You have set a table in the presence of our pain. You are not only the God of the empty tomb, but the God of the full feast. The one who welcomes the weary, lifts up the lowly, and speaks life into every grave, every broken heart, every dark place. Father, we thank You for the hope of resurrection, not just for someday, but for today. So give us hearts that burn with joy, hands that break bread with love, and lives that declare, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And Father, may we go from this place, not just believing in the resurrection, but living it. It's in the name of Jesus, the risen King, that we pray. Amen.